This is a podcast from Real Life Sango in Clarksville, Tennessee. Thank you for being a part of our online community. We would love for you to join us at 8:30 or 10 a.m. on Sunday morning at the City Forum. In the meantime, if you would like to share a prayer request, make a financial contribution, or take a step at Real Life, you can text MISSION to 97,000. Now enjoy the podcast.
Amen. Church, I'm so glad to be with you today. I invite you to grab a Bible, a copy of God's Word, and turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. This past week, I got to spend a couple of days in North Carolina with my wife, Susan, and our new executive pastor, Ben Reed, and his wife, Laura. And we were at what's called the Summit Collaborative Lead Pastor and Wives and Executive Pastor and Wives Retreat. And so we got away just to refresh, hear from the Lord, get a little shot in the arm. But what I want you to know is that through your giving, we invest in what's called the Summit Collaborative. So we're a part of this network, this fellowship of 70 churches that invest together to plant new churches around North America. And so Pastor Eric Malloy, our church planter that's planting Real Life Fort Campbell, he was there, and at the retreat, they celebrated him finishing his year-long cohort along with about four other church planters that are planting across the country. And it's just so cool to see how we get to be a part of God's work planting churches in other places in North America with like-minded people. And so what this means practically is from time to time, people will move to Montgomery County and they'll show up to our church because where they lived, they were a part of a Summit Collaborative church. And so when they move to town, they want to know, where's the like-minded church like the church that I was a part of? And what it means for you is whenever the Lord uproots you and sends you to a new town, perhaps there's a Summit Collaborative church there where you can get connected and know, okay, there's a part of the family here. And so anyways, we're celebrating today because of the work, the collaborative work that we're not the only church investing in Real Life Fort Campbell. There's other churches that are part of our family that are investing in Real Life Fort Campbell. This morning, we're wrapping up a short sermon series that we've been that I've titled, Can I Know? Can I Know? And this morning, I'm titling this morning's sermon, Can They Know? Can they know? So for the past couple of weeks, we've been asking the question, can I know if my sins are forgiven? Can I know if heaven is my future home? Can I know if I have a real relationship with God? Can I know if I'm a real Christian? This morning, we're asking the question, can they know? And what I'm thinking about as we ask, can they know? I'm thinking about, can my friend know? Can my coworker know? Can my neighbor know that when he or she dies, they will spend eternity with the Father in heaven? Can my dad, can your mom, can they know that their sins are forgiven? Can my child, can my trainer, can my professor, can my teammate, can the students in my classroom know that their sins are forgiven, that heaven is their future home, that they are a real Christian? And the good news is the answer to that question, can I know and can they know, is yes. Yes. It's not a mystery. It's not vague. God has not been unclear. He's been crystal clear that we can know that our sins are forgiven, that heaven is our future home. John wrote it this way in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. This has kind of been the theme verse for this whole series. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So here's the deal. God wanted you and me to have confidence. God wanted you and me to have certainty that our sins are forgiven. But not just that. He wants your coworkers and your friends and your trainer and your coach and your teammates and your cousin and your housekeeper and your accountant and your barista. He wants them to know that they can have a real relationship with God. That they can know that they're clean, that they're forgiven, that they're free, that heaven is their destiny. So here's three essential steps this morning for them to know that they have eternal life. Three critical, essential steps. Are you ready for this? The first one is just that they hear the gospel. Now, this may seem really elementary to you, but I want you to see this in Romans chapter 10, verse 13 through 17. The Apostle Paul wrote this amazing, theologically rich letter to the Christians in Rome, explaining the beauty and the depths of the gospel. So if you want to understand the gospel in a deep fashion, read the book of Romans. And there's just these beautiful layers. The gospel is simple and clear enough for a third grader to understand it. And the gospel is deep enough to confound a NASA astronaut. It's just so marvelous. And so in chapter 10, Paul begins to ask, so what? So the gospel's amazing. So what? So what? So the gospel's mind-blowingly good news. So what do we do with it? And he says this in verse 13. Look at it with me. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a great promise. Yes. He's not saying maybe. He's not saying this could happen. He's saying, listen, if you realize you're a sinner and you need a Savior and you believe in Jesus and in His death and His resurrection, if you call upon Him as your only hope for salvation, He'll save you. And you can take it to the bank. You can take it to the grave. You can take it to heaven. Lord Jesus will save you. You call upon Him. Look at verse 14. How will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? Look at verse 17. It's the focus verse. It's on the screen. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So what's mine and your hope of having a real relationship with God? We've got to hear the gospel. What's your cousin, brother, trainer, teacher, student, coach, teammate, what's their hope of having their sins forgiven, having heaven as their destiny, having a real, what's their hope? First, they have to hear the gospel. Paul writes so clearly, he says, faith comes from praying really, really hard for your loved ones. No, it's not what he says. He says, faith comes when they hear the gospel. They have to hear the gospel. We like to pacify our own conscience by praying for people that need to hear the gospel rather than getting the gospel out of our mouth into their ears so they can hear the announcement of the good news. I loved when our first child was born. I came into the waiting room and family were there, and I just got to announce loudly, a baby boy has been born. That's the good news of the gospel. We're announcing the victory in Jesus. We're sharing the gospel, the good news that though we're wicked sinners, deserving judgment, God loves us. He loves us, and at great cost to Himself, by sending His own Son, Jesus rescued us from our sin and rebellion. Through His death, through His resurrection, He conquered sin, and He secured eternal life for us. This is the good news that we announce so that anybody can be forgiven. Jesus said it this way. He said He's given His disciples the keys to the kingdom. What does that mean? That means you and I have the authority that we can tell anybody that we run into, I can promise you heaven, and I can tell you how to get there, and you don't have to wonder and you don't have to doubt whether or not you can get there. I have the key to the kingdom that gets there. What is it? It's the gospel, the good news of Jesus, that God loved us even though when we were unlovable, that Jesus paid our penalty for our sin. He died in our place. This is gloriously good news. We deserve judgment. We get love and grace, and it's all through the death, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. If people are going to come to faith in Jesus, they have to first hear the gospel. But it's interesting, isn't it? You can hear someone saying the gospel and not really hear the gospel. How many times have you left a sermon and somebody asks you, what was the sermon about? I don't know. Or if you're a parent, and you tell your kid, well, I told you to clean your room before you got on the Xbox. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And they heard the words coming out of your mouth, but what they say is, I didn't hear you. We have an understanding in our home that if I'm looking at my phone and Susan is talking to me and she says, did you hear me? If I say yes, I'm lying. If I'm looking at my phone, I wish I had the ability to actually hear what you're saying, but it's Charlie Brown, wah, 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 wah. So somebody can actually be sitting in this room hearing me explain and announce the good news of the gospel and not hear it. How does that work? How many of you ran in the marathon, the Music City Marathon this weekend? Don't lie to me. Come on. This is your moment. Yeah. Oh, come on. Hold it up. There, right, two right over here. Hold it up right there. I know you're embarrassed. You're not coming back next week. We got a gal holding a baby. We got a man right here. He said it's first time and last time for him. Anybody else? Where's Delaney? She led the music this morning. Delaney, did you run in the marathon? Delaney ran in the marathon and led worship this morning. Come on, church, give it up for her. She's back here. Half. She said it's a half marathon. That's half more than I ran. When you're running a marathon and people are all gathered around and you're running and they're all yelling, you can do it, keep going, you can do it, almost there. And you get done with the race and your family comes around you and they're like, hey, did you hear me? Did you hear me yelling? I think I heard you. But there were so many other voices. It was so loud. I don't know if I heard you. I mean, you were yelling. You weren't whispering. But there were so many other voices. I don't know if I heard you. That's what happens in a lot of people's lives spiritually. There's so many other voices. There's the volume of information that's coming to us in our modern day is more than the human being that human beings were created to absorb. And so the gospel may come and they may kind of hear it. They may not hear it the way. Some just have never actually heard it. Some have never been in the presence of anyone explaining in the gospel, telling the gospel. When we were in New York, we spawned off a little daughter church in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. And our church planter up there, he gathered all these people into his living room during Christmas and had a Christmas party. And kind of at the culmination of the party, he opened up the Bible and he read the Christmas story. And a young lady in his living room said, well, all those Christmas songs now make sense to me. She had heard Christmas songs, but she had never heard the gospel message. And when she's sitting in a living room as a grown woman and someone reads the Christmas story, for the first time in her life, she heard that God became a man out of love to rescue broken sinners. Have you heard the gospel? Have you heard the bad news that because of your sin and rebellion, you've been separated from the God who loves you and you actually deserve judgment? Have you heard that bad news that causes the good news to be so amazingly good? That God loves you though you're unlovable? That God chose you? That he adopted you in his love? That he sent his son Jesus to die in your place as your substitute because he loves you? That God, at great cost to himself, sent Jesus? Have you heard that? Have you actually heard that? There's a young couple in our church that most likely this calendar year they will move to Paris to go to language training. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. And they'll go to Paris to to be immersed in the language and then move to Africa. And they'll move to a very dangerous location that's not super warm and welcoming to the gospel, a heavily Muslim context. We would describe it as a dangerous environment. And they're going to tell the people there that God loves them and that Jesus died for them and that Jesus rose from the dead to give them eternal life and that they can turn from their sin and turn to Jesus and trust him. Why would they go so far away to a foreign place where they do not know people? Why would they risk so much? Why would they do that? Because faith comes from hearing. The only way that those people are going to come into a relationship with the Father is if they hear the gospel. It's if they hear the gospel. So it's our privilege, church, to send them, to pray for them, to invest financially in their mission. When you give, we're helping to send this young couple to the ends of the earth with the gospel on their lips. Aren't you glad? Isn't that amazing? Doesn't it fire you up? They're going to the nations. The question for many of us is will we go to our neighbor? Will we go to our classmate? Will we go to our teammate? Will we go across the street? They're going to the nations because they know there's no hope for them unless they hear the gospel. Do you understand? There's no hope for the people you love unless they hear the gospel. You can love them and you can model a Christian life for them and you can pray for them, but they'll never be born again unless they hear the gospel. They have to hear the gospel. Do you understand that? They can sit in a room and hear a preacher, but if they're not actually hearing the gospel, if they're distracted by all the voices, they'll never come into faith. So first, those that we love, they must hear the gospel. And second, they must understand the gospel. Over in the book of Acts, you don't have to turn there. I'll just set the stage for you in Acts chapter 8. Philip had an angel tell him to go down to Gaza. And on his way, he sees an Ethiopian in a chariot reading from the book of Isaiah. And he asks him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And this is what the Ethiopian man said to him in verse 31 of chapter 8. And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" In other words, it's not enough just to hear the gospel. It's not enough just to read the gospel, the Bible that has the gospel message. We must understand the gospel. Many of us heard the gospel for years before we ever understood it. And then many of us understood the gospel before we ever believed it. These are basics, but oftentimes we forget the basics. And the basics are we must hear the gospel and we must understand the gospel. One of my favorite stories in the early days of our church is when Kayla Martin so wanted her sister to hear and understand the gospel. Her sister had hit a tough patch, and Kayla was so burdened for her in the same way that you are burdened for many of your loved ones and friends. And Kayla reached out and she said, I'm going to go visit my sister. I want her to understand the gospel. Can you help me help her understand the gospel? I said, yes. We met up at Starbucks and we went to some key scriptures and got Kayla anchored in. And the next day she gets on a plane and she flies to Michigan and she shares the gospel with her sister and explains it. She helps her to understand it. And so now her sister heard the gospel and understood the gospel. Guess what happened that day? Her sister believed the gospel. She became born again, a child of God. Hallelujah. But if Kayla had not chosen to get on that plane and to go to Michigan that day, her sister would not have heard the gospel nor have understood the gospel and would have had no chance of believing the gospel that day. So who is the Lord putting on your heart right now? Church, it's my prayer that right now, in this moment, right where you're sitting, that the Lord will begin to put names on your heart of people that he wants you to tell them the good news that their sins can be forgiven because of what God has done for them through his son Jesus. Like right now, right on your phone or in your journal or in the margin of your Bible, will you just write down the initials or the names of people that the Lord brings to your mind? Who's lost that needs to be found? Who's blind that needs to see? Who's separated from God that needs to be reconciled? Listen, you have the key that unlocks heaven for them. It's the good news of the gospel. They must hear it and understand it. You ever slept through your alarm? This morning, Pastor, that's why we're late again. You ever slept through your alarm? Oftentimes when we sleep through our alarm, we hear our alarm, we just don't understand it. Do you know what I mean? It's like we're laying in bed and we're annoyed. And that alarm is telling us, if you don't get your butt out of bed and get to work, you might get fired. That's what it's explaining to us, right? And we hear it, but when you sleep through your alarm, you're not understanding it, right? Have you ever had somebody come and shake you while your alarm is going off? Right? They're helping you understand your alarm. And that's what we do when we share the gospel with people. But they must understand they're lost and hopeless without Jesus. You can hear that and not understand it. When you understand it, it changes you. Because you see your need for a Savior. It humbles you. It breaks you. The message of the gospel breaks you. It breaks you of self-reliance. It breaks you of self-salvation. When you understand it, you throw your hands up and you announce, I can't save myself. And if you've never announced that, then you don't yet understand the gospel. Listen, if you don't understand and believe that you deserve judgment in hell, you've not understood the gospel yet. So you may, listen, friends, you may label yourself a Christian because you grew up in the home that you grew up in, because you participate in religious ceremonies, because you're not a Muslim, you're not a Buddhist, you're not New Age, you're not a Hindu, I'm a Christian. Listen, if you don't understand that you deserve judgment, but Jesus tasted judgment for you, then you haven't yet understood the gospel. You actually have to understand it. You have to hear the gospel and understand the gospel. It was years ago, I was visiting with this young man that had just graduated from a Catholic seminary. And I asked him, I said, can you give me a definition of grace? It would make sense that after you graduate from some sort of divinity school, that you could give a simple definition of what grace is. Doesn't that make sense? And I said, could you define grace for me? It was a pleasant conversation. It wasn't combative in any way, but he just smiled and he said, I don't know that I can. Diploma, degree, I can't explain grace to you. It was thrilling to get to explain to him what grace is. Grace is a gift that we don't deserve and that we could never earn. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 that we are saved by grace through faith. The gospel is the good news that you can't save yourself, but you don't have to. Jesus will save you if you'll trust in him. The gospel is the good news that though our relationship with God was broken because of our sin, Jesus will repair it and restore it through his death and resurrection. And why will he do that? Because he loves us. The gospel is the good news that though you feel rejected, though you feel alone, God will bring you into a relationship with him through his son, Jesus. Through his son, Jesus. This is the good news of the gospel. Have you understood it? Have they understood it? Has he? Has she? Is the Lord bringing to people in your mind those that he wants you to explain the gospel to them? The gospel is like a seed that you plant. When you share it, it's like you plant that seed into the soil of a man or woman or boy or girl. The Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. So what we get the privilege of doing is planting the seed of the gospel, the good news that Jesus will save you, you can't save yourself, Jesus will reconcile you to God, you can't do it on your own, you can't climb your way up to God, you can't impress God enough, you can't appease God, but Jesus did it for you. Jesus did it for you. And he extends this as a gift that you don't deserve and you can't earn, that you can receive it. This is the good news of the gospel. And when we share it, it's like we plant it into the soil of their heart. And here's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, convicts the world of sin. So when we share the good news of the gospel, then the Holy Spirit lights it on fire. And he brings it to our spiritual faculties that that's true, that we're indeed a sinner and we need a Savior. We share the gospel, the Holy Spirit convinces people of their need. It takes the pressure off us, friends. It takes the pressure off us. And how unloving do we have to be to know that we have the key to heaven and to not share it? How unloving is that? What we need is the Father by His Spirit to disrupt us and to give us a broken compassion for those that we say we love. What we need is the kind of humility that Caleb displayed that day, going, I'm not sure if I'm equipped to share the gospel with somebody. I'm going to reach out to somebody that I know that can equip me to share the gospel with somebody, because I've got the best news in the world and I've got to be able to explain it and I've got to be able to share it, because that's their only hope of believing it. That's the next step, is believe the gospel. Believe the gospel. In the recent weeks, we've said we're not talking about an empty, vain belief. We're not talking about a lip service belief. We're not talking about a fake belief. We're talking about the kind of belief that says, no, this is what I believe, and I'm standing on this. I'm going to believe the gospel. John wrote it this way in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. This is the promise of God. Understanding you're a sinner and that Jesus is a great Savior, that God sent him out of his love, if you'll trust in him, if you'll turn from your own self-reliance and turn to Jesus and trust in him. Friends, have you done that? If so, you're clean, you're forgiven. John says it this way in 1 John. He says, if you confess your sins to the Lord, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what is the gospel? Let me give you four words that just summarize the gospel so that you can remember it and so you can share it with others. The four words are God, man, Jesus, response. And if you anchor your mind around these four words, you can share the gospel with somebody easily today, this afternoon, right now. The first is that God is a holy, loving creator and all of creation is accountable to him. He's a holy, loving creator. Man, God created humanity in his image as the pinnacle of his creation. But in our sin, we've broken our relationship with God. In our sin, we've separated ourselves from God. In our sin, we've earned judgment for ourselves. And we're lost. But God, in his great, mind-blowing love, he sent Jesus to live a perfect life, to die in our place, and to rise from the dead, to secure eternal life for his children. And he offers it as a gift of grace. He offers it as a gift of grace. Fourth is our response. Our response. Many of you, you've heard this good news for years, but you've never responded by turning from your self-reliance and turning to Jesus and relying upon him. Turning from being the Lord of your life, repenting of being the Lord of your life and turning to Jesus and saying, I want to confess you, Jesus, as Lord. I'm no longer Lord. I'm confessing you as Lord of my life today. I'm repenting of my sin and I'm following you today. I'm trusting in you today. I'm relying upon you today. So what's the response? It's to repent and believe. It's to turn into trust. Turn into trust. When you hear and understand the good news, you can believe the good news. Turn from sin and trust in Jesus. The Bible says that though our sins be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. John said, I'm writing these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So two questions. Do you know? If not today, turn from sin and turn to Jesus and trust in him. But perhaps a more important question for some of us today is, do they know? Do they know? Have you shared the best news with those that you say you love? You can do it today. Church, can I just encourage you today with everything that I've got to not be content by putting this off? To not be okay with saying later? put it on your calendar, put it in your planner, get somebody to hold you accountable. So you're like, I don't even know how I would start that conversation. Here's the way I've started it many times. I'm sorry that I've never shared with you the most important thing in my life. That's the way I've started it often. I'm sorry that I've never shared with you the most important thing in my life. Some of your friends will say, I know, it's church. You know, I know that's a big deal to you. No, it's not church. I want to tell you about Jesus and the difference he's made in my life. When you say, I'm sorry, I haven't shared with you, like people's eyes are going to get big and they're going to lean in. What are you sorry about? What'd you do? I'm sorry, I've never told you. Can you imagine with me this morning? Can you just imagine with me this morning? If the Holy Spirit began to burden each of our hearts, perhaps to the point of tears for some of us, where we became so disrupted in our spirit that those that we love and that we're close to have not yet heard the gospel. They've not yet understood the gospel. They've not yet believed the gospel. Can you imagine with me? Can you imagine with me if just half this room this morning, look around, just look around. Can you imagine with me if half this room this morning, this week, shared the good news about God's love with somebody that had never heard it? Can you imagine with me what that baptism service might be like? If half of those people next Sunday came forward for baptism, and before this past week, they had never heard the good news that their sins could be forgiven. They had never heard the good news that heaven could be their own. Can you imagine how amazing and electric that would be in this place? God can do it. Will we be used by him? Will we be obedient to him? Will we be his messenger? Church, I love you. I'm praying for you. God's doing this already, but may it come like a tsunami, like a mighty wave of his love in our community, because we're moved in our spirit. Amen? Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your great love. Thank you, Lord, for your great love. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his victory. Thank you for his cross. We celebrate today that we can be forgiven and free. We give you glory for it. Lord, move in our hearts with compassion. Let us get the gospel clear and right for ages to come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me share with you, church. I just want to let you know how you can respond today. You can take the yellow and black card. And if today you're turning and trusting in Jesus for the first time, would you just indicate that on the card and drop it in the box on your way out so we can pray for you and connect you with some resources in this new relationship with God that you have? Would you just indicate on the back of that card, today I'm trusting in Jesus. We'd celebrate with you. You know, the Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians, this is the way he said it. He said, if an angel or if anyone else preaches to you a different gospel, let him be accursed. That's why it's so important that we get the gospel clear, that we get it right, that we get it out into the ears and hearts of people. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Let's sing out with all we've got.
Thank you for listening. We trust that God is stirring something special in your heart today. We hope to see you on Sunday very soon. Keep it real, keep it Jesus.